This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paul Hawksby. And Andy Jacobs has gone to the loo. So I thought I'd let you in. It's like, just peek behind the curtain. We were joined by a man who's hoping to run the marathon in drag. Well, he's going to do it in drag, is whether he beats the world record. But he was great fun, Ryan Walkley. Martin Kellner had a week of sport on TV. Stan Collymore, an impassioned plea to the people at the top of football to sort themselves out after the FA Cup stuff yesterday. There's Andy coming back from the loo. I'm just recording the pod lines. You feel better now?
Yeah, relieved.
Relieved. I'm just saying, we've got all that sort of stuff in. Andy's relieved. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. I don't know if you caught I caught Pointless the other afternoon, and there was a contestant on who was asked to name a tomato soup beginning with G, and he said Garnacho.
Ah.
Not like that famous United Great winger, news. Gazpacho.
Mark Goldbridge liked it. Yeah, I'm sure he did, and then
ridiculous.
And unliked it.
Unlucky for West Ham last... Oh, hello.
Well, that message just coming, yes, Andy. Hello, is that from Taylor
from
Swift?
Blind Dave.
She doesn't care. Good old Blind. We should congratulate.
No, seriously.
Blind Dave Healy this week, a friend of the show, does incredible things for the West Bromwich Albion Foundation, raising lots of money over the years with mad challenges running around the world, etc.
Yeah.
And he was recognised by the EFL at the awards last Sunday. And I can't believe we haven't got around to mentioning it, but he's obviously listening today. So we salute you, Blind Dave. Fantastic. It's great that your excellent work has got a bit of recognition.
He made some terrible joke about the core subject. I won't read it.
The baggies. No, we can't. Certain things we can't read out. Certainly not at the moment, anyway. Not for the next 10 minutes.
Yes. I was going to say, unlucky for West Ham last night. I thought they put in a very good effort, really. They needed to score when they were in front in the first half.
I've got to be honest. I went. Count Arthur Strong was in on Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was playing not far from me last night. So I went and saw him in action. He was magnificent.
He's funny,
if you get to see him on tour,
yeah.
It's a very silly night out. And it is a real tour de force performance. And his tribute to the Beatles at the end will take some beating. That's all I'll say if you're going to see it. But it was a brilliant night. So I relied on the highlights when I got in. And you're right, Bowen had a really good chance, didn't he, to make it 2-0. And you kind of felt then they were right in the box seat.
They played well in the second half, though.
Yeah. They did.
You can see why they were so good.
And Lille were the better team last night. Even Stan Collymore said that, but the Matty Cash goal turned it. They found a way.
They hung in.
And they have a penalty specialist.
The ref in the West Ham game was so annoying. Officious. One of the worst refereeing performances I've seen for a very, very long time. He was like hype. He was so manic, the guy.
I've said to you before, beyond the Champions League, they find Europa League and Conference League refs in the pub. Before the game, it's like a press gang. They cosh them over the head and put them on the pitch. You get terrible refs.
There was one point. I mean, I can't remember his name now. The Tapsoba, marking Antonio. He just wrestled him to the ground, and the referee goes, "Oh, play on." And you think, "Oh, come on, mate." It was poor, very, very poor. Talking of comedy.
Oh yeah,
I nearly missed the.
Were we talking of comedy?
Well, you were Arthur Strong.
Oh, okay. So,
and the referee's performance last night.
Oh, okay, yeah.
One of our guests this week, I wasn't here, was Mike Bubbins. And I nearly missed the birthday spread yesterday because I started watching...
Started watching Mammoth.
And it's so good.
It is good, isn't it?
And we started binge-watching it. And
You've watched all three now, have you?
My wife was enjoying it, yeah. And so I looked at my watch and went, Oh, blimey, it's the birthday spread. I really, literally, I nearly forgot, but, oh, wow. But well, I recommend it. It's excellent.
Yeah, it
very,
is.
Very, very funny.
Our mate Mike Bubbins, about the sports teacher who returns 40-odd years on.
He's so politically incorrect. It's fantastic.
Is. But I mean, it works simply yeah. because he is a man out of time. Yeah. He doesn't know.
No, no, it's really,
he doesn't
really
know
clever.
What he's
very,
saying.
Very clever.
But yeah, we do recommend it. Well done, yeah. Mike.
Talking of Taylor Swift, I listened to her new album. It's very good. It's a bit long.
I know, it's like it's a double album, Andy. Have you,
31
you listened to
songs.
Taylor Swift's album this morning?
Well, I listened to a fair bit of it on the way in, so I suppose probably about 10 of the songs, not 31.
Have you,
but I've decided I'm not going out with her. I wouldn't want to go out with her, really, because...
The bit
honestly,
of breaking, we should have had the breaking news stab then. I feel like we missed a trick.
She'd be savage if we broke up.
I know.
Honestly.
I mean, she takes no prisoners.
I feel sorry for Travis.
Well, what
Kelsey.
Rhymes with Travis? I'm just trying to think. I mean, well, she goes out with Lenny Kravis afterwards.
It's a travesty.
It's a,
our relationship was a travesty.
Travesty. That's the, and there'll be a little gas. A little, yeah, that's right. I can see that, yeah. So a little bit of breaking news here on TalkSport. Andy Jacobs has said he would never go out with Taylor
that's
Swift.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
So she really will be gutted, won't she? So as promised,
yes.
Charlie's Choice a day later. What did you find in your shoe? This does take some beating, though. A dad was left mortified when an uncomfortable bump in his trainer turned out to be a dead mouse.
Oh.
Now, that can happen to anybody. But he said it had been there for 2 months. Stephen Patterson.
Good.
You sorry, Steve. I don't know if you're listening.
I feel sorry
today.
For the mouse stuck in a trainer for
he
2 months.
He kept flattening out a kink in the lining, which was irritating him whenever he wore the shoe. But he decided to pull the sole out and properly investigate when his right sock started to whiff. I'm not surprised.
Oh, dear.
This is The Sun, this, obviously, not the New York Review of Books. And he was horrified to see a squished rodent, it says. Stephen, who blames the family cat. Well, not for having a mouse in his shoe for 2 months. That's down to you, mate. I thought it was the cardboard in the trainer pushing up.
Okay.
And even the gel, it was squidgy. Maybe that's the way forward for these super shoes.
It's new Nike.
Yeah.
The
you don't really feel any
the
impact.
The vapor mouse.
It's 12 dead mice just under the lining of the shoe. And honestly, I did the marathon in 2.5 hours. It was squidgy. I kept pushing it down, hoping it would sort itself out, he said. But my right sock kept smelling of ammonia. Yeah, you got a rotting mouse. Yeah, every time I was wearing the trainers. I took the sole out, it looked fine, but then I turned it over and saw the mouse. And all I could think of was, oh, it was the cat. Yeah, so what about that?
Else could you have in your shoe apart from a stone? I mean, stone?
Well, exactly. So, but I mean, now and again, you do have something in your shoe. You do have a
stone.
Well, yeah, okay, or a mouse. Are they the
I
only
think it's
two?
Limited.
Should we play stone
I'm
or mouse?
I'm prepared to be wrong.
Okay, well, let's find out, Andy. Let's find out from the list. What did you have in your shoe? I know. Come on, it's Friday. Give me a break. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSH&J.
I've got a great bit of Duke of Kent news.
03717223344 to get in touch. Okay, yeah. The Duke of Kent. And now, should we let the listeners know what's his favourite sport?
Tennis.
Tennis is his favourite sport. So, what's the news,
this,
Andy?
This started because I love the court circular in the Times, and as always. But during Wimbledon, every single day it said the Duke of Kent attended. Yes, we know he attended the championships because he loves tennis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, he's the patron of the Tank Museum. But he only did it because he thought it was a patron of the Tanking Museum, dedicated to the deliberate throwing of tennis matches.
Okay, that was a bit of a stretch. But
a stretch.
I was the one who suggested, what have you got in your shoe? So I'm on fairly stony ground myself, aren't I, really?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, London Marathon weekend. Good luck to everybody running in the marathon, including our former producer, John Cadogan.
Absolutely.
Who's put the training in. He's all ready to go. So I don't know if he's listening today, but we wish John all the best. And people are doing it in weird and wonderful ways, as they always do.
Yeah,
the London Marathon. We just told you the news that somebody's going to attempt to do 420 Rubik cubes around the course. Ryan Walklett is going to hopefully break the record for running the marathon, the London Marathon, in drag. And we're delighted to say he joins us in the studio. Ryan, lovely to see you.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure.
What is the record, by the way?
So I have to get under 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
So under 4 hours, and I'll be the fastest male drag queen to run the London Marathon.
And the previous current holder of that title, are they running this time as well or not?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm hoping not.
You may have a rush for the line, the pair.
Literally, could you imagine coming up to the palace and you just see three drag queens running up the line?
So what gave you the idea? When did you find out about the record?
So I was online last year watching the marathon, and there was like a social media video that went round of a couple of drag queens like on the sidelines cheering everyone on, singing, you know, woo, go, whoever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't remember the last time I saw a drag queen run the London Marathon. Because you see everyone.
Yeah,
you see
true.
People dressed as sweet packets. You see people... I mean, when I looked into the record, there was somebody last year who ran in the most pairs of underpants, and they wore like 27 pairs of pants. So I was like, why can't a drag queen do it?
Yeah.
So I started looking into it a year ago. And then when I started speaking to the charity, because I'm running for the Terence Higgins Trust, I said... I'm thinking of doing this, and they literally got back to me within 24 hours and was like, we think it's great, let's do it.
Right.
So kind of been training since then, and then had my costume made, and then I'm a hair and makeup artist, so I do my hair and makeup myself. So that bit was fine, but it was just...
You're doing it in full makeup, of course.
Oh, full makeup.
Yeah.
Got to be done.
Well, describe the outfit.
The outfit is blues for the charity. So it's different kinds of blues and whites and silvers, so everyone can see who I'm running for.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a very high-cut leotard. It's quite busty.
Right. I've got a picture of it here, Andy.
There we go.
Oh, that's fabulous.
We'll put a picture up on TSH in June.
That's reasonably practical. It's not
completely exactly. Yeah. And I'm running in basically ballet tights.
Right.
So, you know, the chafing is going to be minimal because, you know, if the ballet dancers can use them, then it's fine for me.
Of course.
But I'm just excited to have a really good day. Mm. I first ran the marathon in 2017, and it was one of those things where, you know, we get in, and if you're like, I don't do this now, I'm never going to get the opportunity again. So I did it, and it was a lot of like learning where you go, what you do, what it's like, where you grab a bottle of water, all these kind of things. So this year I was like, I'm going to go into it, and I'm going to combine, you know, my day job and my love of running. And I think around the course, there's going to be people who are struggling, because 26.2 miles is difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to turn around and see my face, eyelashes going, hair whipping in the wind, and hopefully that'll just egg them on a bit. Do you know what I mean?
I've watched a lot of RuPaul, and I have to ask you, are you running untucked?
Wow, that's a very personal question.
Yes.
I don't really want you to answer. Yeah. I just want to it's interesting, isn't it? There's a great tradition of drag in the UK going back years and years and years. But thanks to RuPaul, the acceptance is much higher now, isn't it?
There's exactly.
Tolerance of it.
And I think seeing, you know, seeing me running 26.2 miles around the course, and I'm not the only drag queen running this year as well. I know there's a couple of others running.
Right.
I think it's just that acceptance that these two things can be combined. Do you know what I mean? They're not separate entities. I do this, but I also do sport as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's just going to be a nice day. And I love the London Marathon. The atmosphere is unbelievable. Like, the people who come out to cheer people on, even when, look at last year, it rained like crazy. But everyone came out to cheer everyone on and get them over the line.
Yeah, it's a great event. Great day.
Footwear-wise, Ryan, I'm looking at you. You're wearing a pretty decent pair of trainers. I decided to look up whether anybody has ever run a marathon in stilettos. And somebody has. This was in Chattanooga, in their marathon there. I think it was 7 hours.
That's
I think
impressive.
She was a dancer, and she'd worn lots and lots of heels over the years to dance in. But she said she did get some sort of back problems while she was doing it. She trained.
You don't say.
Yeah. But running, she did 7 hour marathon in stilettos. That is an ask, though, isn't it?
I've settled for a rhinestone trainer.
That's nice.
I was like, because I want to beat the record. I am determined, and that's what I've been training towards. Do you know what? I did have an idea that in the last 400 meters, I was going to have a little backpack with some heels in, and I was
going to
bend down
idea.
And pick them up
and
put them on and then cross the line. And then I thought, by that point, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to have enough energy to bend down, put shoes on, and then strut across the line.
Oh, okay. I mean, you've also got, obviously, you've got everything tied to your shoes to make sure you don't cheat, so you'd have to make sure that you reattach
it.
It's a bit tricky.
Don't want to affect your time, do you, really?
Rhinestone trainer it is.
You told us before we started that you've been training at night, which is interesting.
In the costume.
In the costume.
Yeah.
Just to get used to it. Just to check that everything works as it should, check the chafing isn't as bad. But what's been hilarious is, because I'm covered in rhinestones, when the cars go past, I literally light up. And you can't miss me.
Human cat's eyes.
Exactly. Yeah. There's me trying to be discreet. And then all the cars go past and they're like, look over there.
It's a great idea.
So, really. And what time are you hoping for? What did you do when you did the first marathon? What was your time then?
It was very slow.
Okay.
The first one was over 5 hours.
Right.
But that was in 2017. So then my latest times over the last couple of years. So I first did a half marathon in drag in 2019.
Mm.
And then that's when I was looking at under 2 hours. And I was like, great. And then my training has been, touch wood, going well. And my pacing is good. I'm getting very into it. I've got all my times written down, what I need to hit and when and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then I'm going to Kelly Holmes it for the last 200 metres. And I'm wearing a 32-inch ponytail. So everyone's going to see me coming, whipping from side to side. We're going to have a right old good time.
Well, yeah, keeping the wig on is going to be difficult, isn't it? I would imagine. Might you sweat a bit?
Well, I vinyl tape it to my head.
Right.
Ah.
So when I prep, I do the wig prep because I've got no hair. So I can just literally whack a load of vinyl tape around it. And then when I pin under the vinyl tape.
Right.
So that's not moving. And then I glue within an inch of its life. And then we just hope.
Well, you are a hair and makeup artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I don't do it well.
Do you perform as well? I mean, regularly?
Very rarely.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Because I've been in theatre for the last 15 years. So that kind of takes all my time and I like doing things like this because I'm like, let me show you what I can do. Because a lot of the time it's like you have to fulfill a brief when you go to work, you know, this is your brief, this is what you do. And I think with this I go, let me show you what I can do.
Okay.
So I think a few of my friends are excited to see how I look on the day.
And you had a lot of support, I take it, for this?
The support has been overwhelming.
Yeah,
like the messages and just the love for it, and the, I think everyone's just excited to see me have a good time.
Yeah.
And hopefully run really quickly.
I'll definitely keep an eye out. We will certainly be keeping an eye out for you, Ryan. So if people would like to support you and the Terence Higgins Trust on the Run, where can they go?
You can find me on socials at Walklet Wigs. Mm-hmm. Walklet like a small walk, because I do the Instagram. I'm not great with socials, but I'm there.
Yeah.
And then my donation page is linked on there. And they can find out more about why I'm doing it for the charity, how to donate, and also just come out for the day. If you're in central London on the 21st, just come and cheer on. I mean, you're not going to be able to miss me. I'm literally head to toe in blue and covered in rhinestones.
It is a great day if people are in town and they get the chance. I mean, you've been along to watch, Annie, over the years, haven't you?
I can't say I have, but I always watch it on the telly.
My oldest son ran it a few years ago, and we went and watched him, and it's just fantastic. You're seeing all the elite athletes go through and then all the fun runners. It is a brilliant day, and so well, Ryan, we wish you well.
Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank
Hope you. It goes really well, and maybe we'll have a little follow up next week to see how you did. So
hopefully, I'll come in with a very big certificate.
That will be so it will be officially recognised. Hopefully by the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, so I have to get my costume checked, and then at the end, if I've done it, then I have to stand there and have the photo and that. We're just, you know, it would be lovely.
Yeah,
but then it's not the be-all and end-all.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, look, if you can, great.
Exactly.
But we will catch up with you next week. Enjoy.
Thanks
very much for joining us. Ryan Walkley there running the London Marathon in drag, hoping to break the record. And as we said, good luck to everybody running the marathon this weekend.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good old Rob Edwards at Luton. The Moose went along to his press conference ahead of tomorrow's game against Brentford. And he's got bigger things to worry about. But he looked at Ian in the front row of Arione and Abrahams, thought he was wasting away. This is what he had to say.
Get Moose some crumble so that when he's finish, like, he can have some crumble at least, so he's happy.
Great, isn't it? Lovely. Get Moose and crumble. He looks after the Talk Sport report.
That's what's so good about the Moose, though. The managers, they engage with him.
They
it's
do,
amazing.
Yeah. Good old Moose. Don't go changing. Anyway, Stan Collymore joins us now. Very happy, Stan. Up the European Villa, Stan.
Up the European Villa, gentlemen. England's sole flag carrier, I shall have you know. But it was actually the game last night. I don't know whether you managed to watch it. But Aston, we were very poor. We were very poor because we were very tired. To go from the sort of emotional high, and particularly the second half performance against Arsenal last weekend, it was the opposite. Couldn't keep the ball. Looked like as if we were treading in treacle. Lille, I have to say, one of your former guys, Nabil Bentaleb, ran the show in midfield.
Wow.
And on another night, if that game's played 10 times out of 10, Lille win 9 out of them. But with Emi Martinez, when it goes to penalty shootouts, you know you've got more than a chance. So I, along with 2,499 other Villa fans, will they will be as husky as me today, making their way home Very happy, and we advance to play Olympiakos in Athens.
Only the third time in the last 24 years that there are no English teams in the Champions League or Europa League semi-finals. And me and Ed, we've been discussing this.
Yeah,
talking
to that
about
point,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the intensity, Andy, isn't it, of the Premier League? I don't know what you think, Stan. That tougher for us.
A massive bee in my bonnet about it, because I've been saying this for years. On the station and also in writing, is that Lille had their Liga fixture put aside so they could prepare for a big European clash. Why? Because it's important for La Liga, for Liga to be competitive in Europe. See Marseille as well go through. Aston Villa in the next game, we play Olympiakos on the 2nd of May, Thursday night. We then play Brighton on the Saturday. In what insanity does the domestic host league, the Premier League, or the Football Association, which I'm sure we'll come on to as the sort of guardians of the English game, allow that to happen? Why do they not allow, whether it be Chelsea, Andy, whether it be Spurs, Paul, whether it be Liverpool, Man United, it doesn't matter what club it is. Surely to goodness, we want to give our clubs the very best opportunity in Europe to be able to compete, particularly at the latter stages, and particularly when we can see coefficients now are very, very tight, with it being, you know, an English club may or may not get in that fifth position. But surely it just makes perfect sense for the Premier League in particular, for that Villa-Brighton game 2 days after we play Olympiakos at Villa Park, to say, we're going to reschedule it, even for 24 hours later, even 48 hours later, they can fit it in somewhere. So that's the bee in my bonnet, but it's on behalf of all English clubs, not just Aston Villa.
And it stops all those people who go, so much for it being the best league in the world, and the Premier League don't want that. They think they are the best league in the world.
Yeah.
So why allow critics to come out and sort of joyfully say, well, we haven't got anybody apart from Villa, that's it. Well, so much for that.
Finding room in the calendar feeds into what we talked about a lot yesterday, and the FA have issued another statement today, Stan, if you've seen it, the fundamentals of it. They say, we understand the concerns expressed over the last 24 hours and we'll be sharing more details with clubs very shortly to explain the additional revenue opportunities in the early rounds. They also basically say that all stakeholders, including the EFL, were included in these discussions. Well, that doesn't come across in what Trevor Birch said from the EFL yesterday and a number of the EFL clubs. So I would imagine, Stan, knowing you as we do, you weren't massively impressed with what you heard yesterday.
No, and the EFL have come out and obviously said the agreement, which now sees the abolition of replays from the competition format, was agreed solely between the Premier League and FA. Ahead of the deal being announced, there was no agreement with the EFL, nor was there any formal consultation with the EFL clubs as members of the FA and participants in the competition. I mean, talk about an omni-shambles. I mean, firstly, I'll give you a pep, but literally breaking on my news feed, which I have in front of me when I come on a Friday, Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola on FA Cup replays being scrapped. The competition is for lower divisions to have the opportunity to earn big money. So it's a problem. It's a big blow. But for the big clubs in European competitions, it's much better. We have a tight schedule with lots of games. To find that balance today is a difficult thing. No, it's not, Pep. You and Jurgen Klopp have been campaigning for ages to get this kind of thing scrapped. And the owners of all of those clubs, this is the biggest debate of all. It's English football culture versus big business. And every fan listening to this of any club, it doesn't matter whether you're a National League club or whether you're top of the Premier League, big business, if it wins, and it is winning, is going to take away from you every single scintilla of a right that you have. It's going to take away FA Cup replays. Nottingham Forest, the club that I played for, put up their season ticket prices 28%. Save our seniors at Spurs, Paul, which I'm sure you know well about, taking away the seniors discount. Drip by drip, it's just going to be Hollywood, everything's rosy in the garden, and it's going to be skewed towards six or eight football clubs. Well, I've got a message for particularly the EFL, the Premier League and the FA. If you kill the golden goose, which is the match-going supporter up and down this pyramid, when we do get to a stage where 60,000 at the Spurs Stadium or 40,000 at Villa Stadium are populated only by tourists, and one of those clubs go down, who's going to support them then? enough people already are going to watch non-league football on my Twitter feed. They say, Stan, can't afford to take two kids to Villa anymore. So I've gone to Tamworth, Atherstone, Chasetown, Hensford. And we're in a position now whereby we either do something and say something, or we just let big business, particularly American hedge funds and sovereign states, run roughshod over the game that we all love. And we do all love the game. You can hear it in my voice. It was an absolute pleasure and a privilege to go and watch my club in Europe. Bawling, crying like a baby at the final whistle. Reminds me of the 10-year-old me jumping up and down when we beat Bayern Munich. But in that journey as well, we've had relegations. We've been knocked out by smaller clubs in replays in cup competitions. And that's the magic of the English football culture. I don't understand why the Premier League, the FA and the EFL want to destroy it so much just because managers come over and say, oh, playing too many games here. What should we get rid of? Let's get rid of Southend United against Manchester United replay. So it's one game less. It's not though, is it, Pep? It's not, though, is it, Jurgen? Because you're going to go to America, you're going to go to Abu Dhabi, you're going to go to Australia, you're going to go to Bangkok, either pre or post-season, and play those games anyway. Mm. So I hope that common sense prevails. I hope that the Football Association finds a little bit of confidence to be able to take on the Premier League in particular. But it's just another example of the constant erosion of English football culture, which proudly has strode afoot this game of association football for 150 years.
Yes. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time then for a look at a bit of sporting telly through the eyes of squad number 9, King of Overnights. Cannot walk the streets of Kuala Lumpur, mobbed, he is. Not the ever as, that's probably what it is. Martin Kellner, good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you boys. I'd just like to say, in common with West Ham fans up and down the country, I'm being careful what I wish for.
Yeah.
Ali McCoist was out this morning and told us to be careful what we wish for, so I'm being very, very careful.
Every West Ham fan should give a pound to charity, a charity of West Ham's choice, to for every time that's said. Yeah,
it's such a different way. He's done such a good job, David Moyes, but the football's not that great. And
not that great.
That's the problem. But results-wise, he's been fantastic.
Do you want to change caller? What do you think?
I'm a bit agnostic about it myself because, you know, I have to accept that he's done a great job and we won a trophy, etc. So I'm prepared to cut him a bit of slack, to be honest.
Even in the league season, they've done well this year.
Get Europe again, can't you?
Just about. I doubt it, to be honest. But, I mean, you just get annoyed with the football sometimes.
Yeah.
So you probably say things you don't mean in the heat of the moment, you know, when you're we're trudging back to Stratford Station.
Yeah. So, we're going to come on to the film about the Homeless World Cup, The Beautiful Game, shortly on Netflix. But first, a Louis van Gaal documentary on Amazon Prime.
Yes, who wouldn't want to watch a 129-minute documentary about Louis van Gaal? But, I mean, it's actually a very interesting story.
Yeah.
I mean, not just what he's been through. I mean, he's won 20 major honours. It's a fantastic career. But quite apart from that, the Dutch are sort of a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Because if you look at it in any walk of life in Holland, it's a commendably laid-back society, very family-oriented. We used to go there with our kids when they were little for summer holidays because it was such a nice, relaxed place to go and you could cycle and all that. But despite what a good-natured nation it is as a whole, I mean, you know, you don't want to use too many racial stereotypes, in the area of football, they're capable of monumental bad temper. I mean, we remember Rijkaard and Rudy Vuller in the 1990 World Cup, all the rows within the Dutch sort of World Cup and Euro squads over the years, and various things like that. And Louis van Gaal is a prime example. There's lots of clips of him in his younger days when he was Ajax manager and sometimes as Dutch national team manager, clashing with journalists. And when he clashed, you know, if you're a football reporter in this country and you've ever had somebody like Kenny Dalglish or Gordon Strachan take you to the cleaners, give you both barrels, nothing compared to Louis van Gaal. If you asked him a question that he considered was an unworthy question, and there's lots of these, even the guy who's doing the interview, he has a go at him from time to time as well. And I think because the Dutch language has a lot of, I don't know what the correct term is, from a lot of sounds,
yes.
You know, it's a very, it's
guttural,
a sort of language.
Guttural.
Guttural, yeah. A lot of those guttural sounds. It's a language that, you know, if you're having a go at somebody, it really does sound like, you know, you'd shrink from that.
Yeah.
So there are lots of those scenes, but, I mean, an amazing life that he had. He says he wanted to be a coach from the age of 15.
Oh.
Who wants, you know, even before he was a player, he was a PE teacher.
It'd be interesting for the school's careers officer when he sat down with 15-year-old Louis, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was unbelievable. But you know, he was a PE teacher. He had very much that sort of PE teacher's mentality. Didn't, you know, it wasn't to the taste of every player, but you can't argue with his record, which was phenomenal.
He is a really compelling character. I imagine, like as you said, totally. He's just—I mean, he's been at so many clubs and achieved so much, and it was never boring in press conferences, was he? Even during his time at United.
No, absolutely not. And there are great examples of, you know, some of those press conferences. And he was described by one journalist as grumpy and demanding.
Right.
Two of the Spice Girls who never met. But he begs to differ and says he's honest, straight and consistent.
Right.
But he is, I mean, you've got to have a huge ego to be a footballer. You know, to manage your national team and to manage some of the biggest teams in Europe. A massive ego, which is what sort of makes the programme interesting, I think. You know, even though it is, as I say, 129-minute documentary about Louis van Gaal.
So you recommend it, Martin, would you?
I would recommend it. You know, you have to be like me and have a certain amount of time on your hands. But if you do, it's worth sitting down
good
and watching.
Now,
he had a very, very sad childhood, by the way. His father was ill for a long time and died when Louis van Gaal was quite young. I think he was still either a teenager or a preteen. Also goes to plug his autobiography. He goes to Rwanda.
It's all the rage, apparently.
Yes,
or
apparently
not, as the
is.
Case may be.
he went there to plug his book. Anyway, I met the president.
Well, in Waterston's, Rwanda.
in Waterston's, Rwanda, yes.
Kigali, different country, of course.
Yes.
No, I'm only joking. Sorry. Back reference there to a political Fox Paz a short while ago. The Beautiful Game on Netflix now.
Yeah. Well, this is a Brit flick. It's one of those sort of harmless British films, like, I suppose, you know, things like Kinky Boots or Made in Dagenham, sort of Brit dramedy, I suppose. It's obviously there's drama there, there's a little bit of comedy. Bill Nighy sort of sleepwalks his way through it. he's there. Well,
you're suggesting
what I mean.
He phones it in, Martin.
More More or less. I mean, it is a very Bill Nye sort of a long way after Love Actually type performance. But it's a great story. It's the true story of the 2003 Homeless World Cup in Rome, which some people will know about. It was a huge effort. And if you're looking for a movie that's uplifting, I mean, it's not the greatest film in the world, but like I say, it's a fairly harmless,
feel good-hearted. Good, we call it feel it's good.
We do call it feel good. It's absolutely that, with the bits of drama, and we've got Bill Nye in it. Also, it's written by Frank Cottrell Boyce, who's quite well known. He was written a lot of children's books, and I suppose there's a sort of element of that in it as well. But I would recommend this if you're looking for a feel good movie, not too demanding, and if you're a big fan of either Bill Nye or the other star Michael Ward, who's quite well known for a couple of movies as well, and the fictional homeless character. Was a West Ham player, interestingly. Okay. I mean, I don't know whether there was anybody in that particular... You know, because they take liberties, obviously, with the truth. But at the end, you do see some real scene. Like, it's the sort of trend nowadays, isn't it? Like in Sully. Mm. In Sully, you see the... First of all, you see Tom Hanks and everybody. Then you see the real people.
That's right. You see the real ones, over the
credits.
Which is always quite nice.
There's a bit of that in it, which is nice.
It's on Netflix. And our old mate Callum Scott-Howes is in it as well. So
Callum Scott-Howes.
He's a good lad. Martin, you're back overnight, aren't you?
I certainly am. Very much hoping so.
Preceding you is the Sports Bar Weekender with Adam Cattrall and Carlton Cole. And I was looking at a map the other day. I know how to spend my evenings. And then I realised that I've been in Leicestershire, I believe, there's a place called Carlton Colville. Are you aware of that? Was it in East Anglia?
I'm aware of Colville, which is near Leicester.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big sort of theatre there, massive theatre.
It's called Carlton Colville. I thought it was like a theme park, which was dedicated to Carlton.
Tremendous.
That would be, you'd like that, as with West Ham
connection.
Let's all go to Carlton Colville. That'd be marvellous. Anyway.
I think we should do a day of broadcasting from there.
I think we should. Martin, we'll hear from you tonight. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
But Mikel Arteta has been speaking to us here at TalkSport in the build-up to their game against Wolves tomorrow evening. And he does feel that things need to change in the football schedules to protect the players.
I understand every point of view. At the end, ours, mine is to protect our players. And when I looked at the amount of minutes and games that they played in the last two seasons with no breaks, they're going to have to play in the next 2 days, 2 years, sorry. That's not healthy, for sure. So somewhere, and I'm not saying it has to be that, but somewhere, somehow, we have to reduce the calendar.
Yeah, addressing the FA Cup.
It will stop flying all over the world for pointless pre-season games. That'll help.
That is it. I mean, the thing is, the managers, it does prove, doesn't it? The managers have no say in that. I mean, I'm sure in those moments when they said, oh, by the way, at the end of the season, Newcastle and Spurs, you're going to fly to Australia about 3 days after the season's finished. Some of those guys are going to be off playing in the European Championship.
And let's be honest, you know, is that going to make more people watch it in Australia? I'm not sure it will. There's already a massive interest, though.
Yeah.
It seems pointless to
me. Is it not enough to send out a representative side if you want to do that? I don't know. Is it enough to fly the old team out?
Well, that's the only problem. If you're in Australia and you pay for a ticket to see Spurs Newcastle, you want to see the players.
Unless you know it's going to be a Spurs 11. Robbo's playing at the back. Big Pat's in goal.
That's not going to work.
Okay. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We go again on Monday. Have a great weekend until then, and we will catch up with you at the other side of the weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.